All right, so I guess we'll get going. We're working a little bit in the field and have made a change from the venue we had previously, so we can sit in these school-like rows. Yes, stop talking, pay attention. what I'd hope to get out of this session, just to sort of set the agenda, is to have a discussion about the document that I sent out to the working group, which is the results of the survey that we've seen. So this has been a long time coming, starting way back with Lise and Seeger working up some of the original questions and the original format of this, all the way to Gabby and Christina in particular, going through a lot of effort to actually get this into the hands of a large number of the CCTLD managers. So I would just also like to thank the staff for having done that one at a time, because I know how much effort that was. So thank you very much. As a result, we got 55 responses. And I just want to do a little bit of background to set the stage here so we can have a discussion and also talk a little bit about the limitations of what we have here. So there are 255 CCTLDs in IANA's database. We have what are we at right now in terms of CCNSO? The number? 126, sorry. So this is just to give perspective. Right, and one pending, that's right. So we're about to hit 130 in the CCNSO, and 55 actually responded. So I just want to give you a sense of the numbers, because that has implications in terms of how much credence we can give to the data. Now, from a survey point of view, that's roughly speaking, around 30%. So it is certainly going to be able to give us good guidance. The other thing about surveys is this is a self-selected group. And that's very important, because it's not a random survey like we would often think about in terms of political polling or that kind of thing, where it's randomized and has a sample size that it becomes statistically significant and you can extrapolate against the entire population base. We don't have that kind of survey here. We have a good survey that gives us good guidance, but since it's a self-selected sample, it will inherently exhibit some bias based on whoever those respondents were. And just to give you a little bit of a sense of that bias, geographic regions like Europe over-indexed, and geographic regions such as Africa under-indexed in terms of participating in the survey. So we need to keep that in mind, because inherently it biases the outcome to some degree. Now, there's a big difference between saying it's biased and saying it's not relevant. It's still certainly very relevant. We just have to view it through the filter of there's some self-selection bias. So that's kind of my preamble as we go through this. And in spite of the format we're in, it's not meant to be a monologue here. It's meant to be a discussion, because there are good minds in the room and we can all interpret data different ways. And in fact, even just in a couple of the conversations I've had with some people in this room, I was really struck by very different takes on what the survey said. So people read the data and got quite different views on what it said to them. So I want to have that discussion. Question and answer. I unfortunately got this survey later than the research company had promised me. So literally as soon as I got it, I sent it out to you. So there's probably also going to be questions we want to have just about what are they saying here and does this make sense? Because I've already seen a few things that I'm going to need to go back and get clarification on. I would like to get that sense. Or are there any issues that we need to bring back to the survey and research firm for clarification, but also then at a high level, what are the messages that we want to bring forth to the community? So if we look at this survey, that's going to inform part of the discussion around contribution models, et cetera. What are the key themes that we want to tease out of this? Because there's all kinds of messages here. And as we know, if we're going to go to the community, first of which is going to be, immediately is going to be both the GAC and the board in the next couple of days or next few days, what are the core messages that we want to deliver to those groups? Because once it's out in the wild, these messages are going to start to take their own shape. So let's make sure that we're delivering the messages that we want out there first. So what are they? I've put down a few. I've already had some conversations on maybe, you know, how appropriate are they, or can we nuance them or fine-tune them? So I'd like to have that discussion and ideally come out of this session with a sense of, I know it's almost a cliche, but if we want to have three messages, what are the three messages we want to deliver? And that way we as a working group, and then hopefully the council, and then hopefully our community will then be constantly singing from the same song sheet around those core messages. So, but I hope by the end of this session, if we could come out with those, I think that would be very, very helpful, particularly given we are presenting, or at least I guess I'll be presenting the results of this to the GAC and the board Tuesday and Wednesday. Any questions or comments? So it's not that I don't want to go through a page full of every single slide, but really maybe tease out a few of the key ones. And since the room is a little bit different than expected, I'm going to have to walk back and forth between my notes and the computer. So this just goes on to say, I mean, everybody's seen the survey. Hopefully you've had a chance to take a look at it and digest it a bit. But again, you know, 255 total CCTLDs, 130 in our CCNSO community here, 55 responded. Another key thing just to take away is the survey remains open. So while this gives us guidance on what these 55 respondents have said, our goal is to continue to chip away at it and get more and more folks. And we would like to see the underrepresented areas hopefully ramp up their participation here. I think we all know what they do. So we got a couple things here that we really took a look at. What do we contribute and what do we get in terms of services? And those are really the two fundamental questions we wanted to ask, and then we started breaking them down and peeling them apart of it. There's a little bit of an eye-buster chart here, at least it is for me since I don't have my glasses. But really what this is showing is what are the services that are used. So we can see that the IANA function is the top. We as CCs all typically use that. But then it's a pretty steep tailing off in terms of services used. So, you know, the top two or three, root zone management, policy updates, delegation, redelegation, are really the three high runners, and then it falls off pretty dramatically after that, particularly in terms of what I would, let's call them capacity building activities. Now, that said, I think we need to keep in mind that this is over-indexed to the European CCs. It's reasonably representative on Asian, pretty good on, but under-indexed and lack TLD, and definitely under-indexed in the African region. So just bear that in mind when you look at these results. But the results basically say we really participate or require actively only a handful of activities that that ICANN is providing for this community, or suggesting that they're providing for this community. Does it make sense to people? Comments, questions? Okay. This is the same graph or the same data, but skewed based on number of domains managed by the given CCTLD. So I don't think there's anything here that particularly stands out. Clearly there's one or two anomalies here, but it's what it's really showing is the larger the ccTLD, the faster it falls off on the what I would call, if we can just use for the term, really core functionality at the top, and more less core functions as you roll down the graph. So that's what this one is really saying here. The conclusion there typically is the larger the ccTLD contributor in terms of dollars, absolute dollars, the less number of functions they use. So in this self-selected group of 55. So, you know, it's an interesting thing that we need to wrestle with here. I mean, we have the self-selected group of 55. This is accurate data for them, but what's it say for the whole community? It gives us good guidance, but we can't extrapolate it across the whole community per se. Peter? Yeah, for the transcript, that's right. If we could pass the microphone around. And just say your name.
Hi. My name is Peter Horosten. I work for Center.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. One of the questions that comes to my mind when I'm looking at, first of all, the stats, and then the next slide with the conclusion, is you're talking about the self-selected group that basically filled in the survey. It might be useful to use that as the division that you made there, smaller than 100,000, then from 100, that should be 100,000 to 1 million, then larger than 1 million, in the introduction as well, so that whoever reads this survey has a good idea of what type of ccTLDs we're actually talking about. Because even in Europe, some of those that will have responded will actually fall in your group of smaller ccTLDs.
That's a good comment. We'll do that.
Eduardo Santoyo from DatGeo. By the way, I want to know if it's possible for us, or at least for this group, to know which are the 55 countries who have been answered the survey. Just because, well, if we can help to invite others to come, I don't know,
The research firm certainly knows who the 55 are. There was a fairly robust commitment to privacy. So let me just go back and double check on what we said we would release. Because there's sensitive data in here, and part of the commitment to get people to talk about that was to not uniquely identify them. But let me see if just about the name itself, because I don't remember that off the top of my head. But just to say I participated might be useful. Peter? Ask who didn't participate? That we can do. That's some good lateral thinking. Okay, just to keep moving. So that was one of the conclusions. The absolute dollar contributors, or the largest absolute dollar contributors, tended to use the least amount of services. They use the top couple of core services, but not the rest, and vice versa. Which this is the second part of that, which is looking at the average the mean and the median, so the average and the median contribution by domain size. There's probably no big surprise in here because we've all seen the table and the banding of contributions. I assume everybody's seen that. That was part of the materials earlier in this process. And this just takes it a little further in terms of understanding the mean and the median on those by registry size. And this is the data that gets put against the expense data that leads to the conclusion of the larger ones using less of the services. these are, again, average contribution in terms of time. I think this is an interesting one too. We look at financial contributions, just the hard value. You're writing the check, and then there are the other contributions, which we see are fairly significant. And this looks at how actively are we participating as a community, as individual CCs, in the ICANN process. And what this, of course, then leads to, how much are we spending in terms of hard dollars, but also in terms of mindshare and commitment to the process. One of the things that I want to tease out, and Bart was really helpful and this in having this conversation, is agreement, the notion of agreement and support and formal agreement versus voluntary, and what is the sort of the contractual ones like Auda and JP have versus exchanges of letters, frameworks. So how those get sliced is going to be important here, and I think this is one of those areas that I'm going to have to go back to the research firm and get a little more granularity on that. Please?
Beautiful. Do we know what's in the contractual agreement? Because is it like just a fixed number they agreed to pay, or is it per...
I'm going to let Bart answer that one.
The real contractual one, there are four of them. That's AUBA, so that's AUDA.au, Taiwan, Japan, and the fourth one slipped my mind. Yes, Cayman Islands. In the Cayman Islands, there is a fixed number. In the Taiwan and AUBA one, there is a method. That means it is calculated on a per domain name basis, in a way. The JP one had such an arrangement, but they changed it into a fixed amount. So that's the answer to your question.
Oh, well, I just find it interesting that the other slide you showed says that size matters. So if you have a lot of domain names, you pay more. So you do it voluntarily. You don't need to have an agreement. And even though those countries are those who uses ICANN least or are having more
fewer services.
Fewer services. They pay more. I think that's. I think it's a good way to have it, and what DK would want, that it stays this way.
That it's
the voluntary basis.
Right. So, and that's one of the things that's interesting here. That's not maybe parsed as well as it could be. Is that voluntary doesn't mean there isn't some kind of agreement in place. Right, and that's where the distinction needs to get clarified or become sharper than what it is here, because there's some overlap. But your point is the voluntary methodology still generates significant revenues in many of the registries. You don't need a contract to force you into making large contributions. But we can also see here there's pretty strong participation. People between coming two or three times a year is the majority. We also looked at hours. Now, again, this is a self-selected survey, and these are the responses here are people guesstimating their hours. But when an interesting correlation, even though it was completely separate, was the work that Bart was doing around workload for council members and some of the basic figures around level of effort and time required for contributions through the council, et cetera, that we heard about this morning, they do actually correlate reasonably with what we're seeing here. So just two completely independent thought processes ended up actually being somewhat similar. But you can see So for the average, it was 143 hours a year. So depending on how hard you work in your day job, that's you know, at least a few weeks of your calendar dedicated to ICANN-related activities, which is not, for those of the other day jobs, not a trivial endeavor. And then there's Keith, who probably does some whole other order of magnitude different. Peter. Please.
This is Peter from Center. It might be useful to correlate that previous slide to two other statistics. That is, does that relate somehow to your contribution, financial contribution to ICANN? Those paying more or more involved or not? And then not something to relate to, but maybe something to specify. I don't know if you have these that information from the survey results, but does that include travel, for instance, to ICANN meetings? Because if you add that, you very quickly end up into the 30, 49, 50 hours spent on teaching as
everything. Right. Does this, Stan, anecdotally, though, does this make sense just within this group? Does this seem reasonable in the finger-in-the-wind test?
Personally, I think it's pretty low.
Okay.
The median is definitely too low.
I agree with Peter, because probably we have to add the time that we spend in the regional organizations too, because even though those organizations are not part of the ICANN structure as like TD or Center or the other ones, they are needed, or they are part of the activity that we do in order to structure our participation within ICANN. And for it, consider that time too is a number higher than this.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think Keith Davidson, Byron, I think the idea of the mean, or the idea that the average person responding goes to two or three ICANN meetings a year, and their average is somewhere between 3 and 4 weeks, doesn't quite gel as being sensible, because just your time at ICANN meetings is somewhere between 3 and 4 weeks to you. So it's substantially more, I think.
Right.
People are just probably worried to admit exactly how much time they spend.
They don't actually want to be honest with themselves about how much time they're really spending. Yeah. Yeah, you just did that. You spent that much time basically getting here and back. Are there other activities where we're spending hard dollars, but definitely don't get counted into the mix? And this is one more of those areas, which was around sponsoring activities, meals in particular. There's certainly a number of us in this room I know who sponsor meals, and there are certainly many others who do on a regular basis, for example. And you can see that, you know, it's pretty high in terms of people participating at least in one, if not two or three ICANN meetings a year. And here's the other one that we all know intrinsically, but that out of this survey, I think, is something we want to elevate the notion of, and that's the cost and the commitment that typically CC hosts have to fund for ICANN meetings, as Columbia recently did, and as a person doing the Toronto October meeting, I'm quickly becoming aware of how much effort and cost they incur. And that's something that really isn't captured anywhere. And yet it's a very significant contribution to the whole ICANN process. So we definitely capture and tease it out here.
Byron, Keith again. I think, though, that formula has changed quite a bit. The substance of how much the local host puts into an ICANN meeting is substantially less than it used to be. I think for the New Zealand meeting, for example, we expended about one man year on organising the meeting from our own staff. So a significant resource and as well as financial costs and so on. Notwithstanding that, I think the point is always not taken on, into account by ICANN in any of their calculations or suggestions about the CCNSO's contributions, and usually it is CCTLDs who are sponsoring meetings. So make this point strongly as we go through the GAC and other constituencies.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of the key points that we want to surface and highlight when we are out in the field communicating this. This was a finding, you know, or potentially one of the findings, although I've had subsequent conversations since this was first written, and I think it's probably not nearly nuanced enough. And probably is not accurately reflecting what we're seeing. And Bart has actually made some good suggestions about how it could be more nuanced about this. And that's also, you know, going back to what I said earlier about voluntary contributions, the different kinds of accountability mechanisms from formal contract to no contract and everything else, nothing in place and everything else in between. Bart, did you want to make a quick comment on? Okay.
Vegan Pisani. Just a quick one. On formal, it's both formal and agreement. Where do the exchange of letters fall in that category? If I try to remind myself.
Yeah, when this finding was really around the contractual, and that's why I say this is not nearly nuanced enough. So I put these findings up for discussion, and in subsequently thinking about it and talking about it already, I don't like this one, and I think we need to be a lot more nuanced about it. But to answer your specific question, it was talking about the very few folks with contract, and the point that I was thinking about is you don't need a contract to be a significant contributor, and that's what it was saying to me. And I was strictly talking contractual obligation, none of the other vehicles, exchange of letters, MOUs, the other vehicles out there. Liz?
I think we should be careful not making the ones that have agreements look bad in this survey, and like you said, that if you turn around and make it the other thing you said before was better than this one, because this is like we do this on behalf of the one with agreements, and I don't think that's the aim of our survey.
You know what, absolutely, and you know, it's one of those things that you write down and then you read it later and you're like, oh geez, that's not coming across the way I meant it to, because all I meant it to be is to say voluntary contributions are actually a very powerful method. It doesn't have to be contract. Not that I was trying to put down the contract guys who actually are also making significant contributions.
Maybe I should say something, what we discussed yesterday. One of the, if you read the bottom line of, say, the arrangements out there is that it's about something else than financial contributions. If you look at the people who, or the CCs who contribute, there are more CCTLD contributors than with an AF, ranging from AF to a formal agreement. I think it's two-thirds two-thirds have an AF. So, including yourself, you make a financial contribution. And I think what really was meant is there is a, the CCs make voluntary contributions, but there is no correlation, in fact, making a voluntary contribution and having a formal or having a kind of arrangement with ICANN. because they're in fact two separate things. People feel the need to make a contribution, and especially the accountability framework program. So that's the exchange of letters and and the accountability frameworks themselves are more about documenting the relation between ICANN and the CCTLD itself. And one part of it is that you document what you contribute. That's one point. And what happened over the years as well is that you see that some CCs have increased their financial contribution significantly if you compare it to what is written down. So in fact, there are two complete different things that you need to talk about. And so that was, say, one of the suggestions. Either you say very statistically, so there is no direct correlation, or I don't know the other one. But you can frame it different ways. But so you talk, in fact, about different entities.
So this is a good example of, you know, I put this out there to stimulate dialogue. I don't think I hit the mark. Well, I did hit the mark because it stimulated dialogue, I guess. But we still want to communicate. I think the message, Bill, the one that we want to communicate, which is voluntary contributions, is still a powerful methodology. And the dollars funded by folks who have voluntary arrangements of one stripe or another is still a very strong commitment. And that was what I was trying to get to, although Bart has been far more nuanced about it than I obviously was. Is that, so back to the messages, if we want to tease out a few core messages, is that the message in a more, if we do it in a more refined way, is that one of the messages that, A, that we actually see in the data and that we want to tease out? That?
Yeah, I'll be again. I'll be happy with that kind of a phrase. So, in probably in simple terms, just to point out that the contributions that people make them regardless of whether they have a contract or not, you know. Yeah.
And that's probably the key point right there, is that the contract or the contributions are made regardless of the vehicle. But part of my thinking there too was also because there is, you know, chit chat in the background. But the only way to get us to contribute is to do it in a contracted way, and that's why I raised the profile a bit of that. Okay, so maybe what the takeaway is I'll work. I don't think we should wordsmith something right here, but I'll work on another one and I'll push it out to the group probably by tomorrow, though, because we're going to want to have this. We're going to want to be in agreement before we go to the GAC and the board. This just highlights what we've been talking about. Again, this just adds some more color to it in terms of the actual contribution dollars. You get a little more granular and a little more detail there. Given some of the conversations that we've had just around the council and in the strategic planning session around capacity building and also what's ICANN's role, and then there were some comments about the CC's role, and actually Sabina spoke pretty strongly that it was not the CCNSO's role to do any kind of capacity building. You know, so that there are different points of view on that, but it's probably safe to say that ICANN is definitely involved in capacity building in some ways, right? And this has just started to look at how much is CCs doing in the capacity building space. Because without a doubt, there are some CCs who are involved in it. But as you can see from this, of the 55 who responded, a relatively small portion of them are actually involved in capacity building outside of their domestic environments. And I think that's a key thing. Peter.
Thank you, Byron. Peter from Center. Probably there's a significant part of CCTLDs missing here, since I'm only speaking for Centre. I'm not sure about other regional organizations, but we have a fund that can be used by Centre members traveling to ICANN meetings. It's hardly ever used, but still it's there, and all Centre members are, as a matter of fact, funding that. So I would be surprised if that 15% would not go up to 45 or 50 if we take that into account. So it's probably just worth mentioning that these are direct ways of funding participants to ICANN, and that there are other indirect ways that are not accounted for.
Well, and I think that builds on the comment that was made here somewhere, I forget who made it, around just regional organizations and the participation, and that is part of the ICANN process, but it wasn't really crisply identified here. And that's fine. I mean, we were trying to talk specifically about ICANN. Now, in the future, do we want to roll that out and say in the overall ICANN ecosystem? But for right now, it was to be specifically ICANN.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the, as with all surveys, I think the questions bring out more questions than answers. And I think, again, the regional organizations spend a significant amount in capacity building. I mean, a truly significant amount in travel fellowships for people to attend Centre or APTLD or LACTLD or FTLD meetings and so on. So I think that's really shows the lack of understanding by the respondents about how much of their contribution to their regional organisation is being used in that fashion, and probably needs to be finessed as a result of that.
Yeah, I will support what Keith is saying. It's an important aspect. Just that example of the hours that people spend on average on ICANN is a classic example of misunderstanding what is meant about the hours spent on ICANN. Even probably I personally, when I thought about it, didn't think about the time of traveling and sitting for a week in ICANN meeting. I thought of it mainly along the lines of the time I spend when I'm at home responding to ICANN processes or reading through CCN and so kinds of stuff. So I think it could be something that we will find a way in the future to try and sift out. I'm not saying necessarily through a survey, but maybe making these points just to make it clear in some of the key messages that this is focused on ICANN as the actual ICANN entity, but not the overall ICANN ecosystem.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good point. When and however we make this publicly available, there will need to be the introduction and the assumptions and some statements and exclusions, and one of the exclusions will be this is strictly around ICANN, and we'll have the opportunity to frame the fact that many people contribute large amounts or equal amounts to their regional organization. As a North American, we don't have one, so it's sort of, you know, I'll take it as a word of faith because we don't I don't get to participate in any of that kind of stuff. Although I participate in LACTLD and Centre, but there's no North American one.
No, but under the new ICANN regions rules, that could all change with North America getting about 50 countries instead of the current 4.
I'm looking forward to going to the Caribbean, that's for sure. We're going to schedule all our meetings in February. Actually, I'll go to here first because this just looks again at the actual contributions, the mean and the median, just to give you a sense of the contributions. But again, we've all seen the table, the band table. I don't think there's any surprises there. It's just packaged in a different way. Finding number 3, open for discussion. Based on everything in the survey, I think it's safe to say that the gap between current contributions and ICANN's suggested numbers, and I would say they're suggested numbers at this point because as of yet they have been unable to clearly define them or back them up, but regardless, that the direct contributions that the CC community is making right now, today, is materially larger than what's actually being accounted for in the voluntary contribution method and accounting. You know, right out of the gate, of course, are hosting ICANN meetings, but seeing there are a whole bunch of other ones. So I think that the delta that we're talking about is substantively smaller than the one being posited by ICANN right now. We won't name any names, but ICANN right now. Now, I leave that up there because if we go out with the three messages, I'm suggesting that this would be one of them, but, you know, this is our work group's core messaging. I think there's solid ground to be on here. I think the data supports it, and I think we have hard evidence to easily prove it.
Yes, I think that should definitely be one of them. But I would slightly change the wording there. In order to make absolutely clear that we're talking about those things that are not measured by just looking at the ICANN contributions. And for us, it's clear because we just went through all the slides. If you pick that out as a standalone conclusion, then it might be somewhat confusing.
And if I could just remind everybody to say their name before they make their comment, please. That's a good point, and maybe I could ask you to assist me in wordsmithing that a bit. But do we therefore, as a group, agree that perhaps more refined, but that this is one of the core messages we want to deliver? Keith?
Keith Davidson, very much the core message of the whole thing. Yes, I agree. I think Peter's right. The way it's currently worded is slightly ambiguous and not fully... it lacks punch. We need a punchy statement here, and I'd be happy to help work on some things.
I will take you up on that. Be careful what you wish for. Pardon me? Yes, and I've written it down. So I would just ask the group how we have, in theory, another half hour at least booked. How much detail did we want to go through? You know, I wanted this to be an interactive discussion, not just a page flip of more and more data. I think we probably get the point of the data. Are there any comments at this point?
My name is Peter van Rossum. I work for Centrum. I was just wondering if how good an idea it is to keep the survey open after already having done so much work, unless we're absolutely certain that whatever comes in will basically underline the conclusions that we have. And if we're not certain that they underline the conclusions, is it any use that we keep on doing this? So, just about when you're asking about the data set and how much detail we should dive into now, I think it depends on what you expect from the additional answers to come in. Personally, I think it might be safe to just close down the survey at this point. The information that we get on top of it could be useful for the next round or in the future.
And then it'll be a project style that you get monitored at.
Or could be useful in the future for historical reasons.
So that's a fair point. We make it close it right now, or at least say this is a data set. We can continue to have the survey open and add some richness after the fact, but this is the data set and this is what we're going out with. Any thoughts or comments on that? No? Okay. This is some more background in depth and supporting data.
Just for me, Viva, this one. I think the point, just to go to the point that Peter is making, maybe the question we should ask is, do we want to go to the next ICANN meeting and go through this kind of a presentation again? And if that's not our intention in terms of our plan is to go on to the next stage, then it could make a lot of sense then to take Peter's point and say, let's stop it and phrase it here so that we can move on to the next stage.
Thank you, Vika. Lise?
Lise from .dk. Well, I think from this survey, I got a spin-off conclusion, and that is I'm very impressed that so many countries are using so many money on going to ICANN meetings, considering that you have your own organization center that you also have to take time and money to support. And I'm very... I was surprised to see how much money and time. And time, you know, we put that number too low. But still, I find it very positive. And I think ICANN should be very reassured by the CCCLDs wanted to spend time and money on supporting ICANN.
And I think we, somewhere, as I said, in the preamble to whatever we deliver, we will include that this is only an area that CCs contribute to the multi-stakeholder internet system. Keith, did you want to? You're ready to say something. So we have these three messages, two of which are going to be fine-tuned as the suggested messaging. Are there other messages we'd like to communicate or replace these with?
Thank you. Sorry, I was paying attention. I was just being a bit quiet for a change, especially from Nominate. I just think that for financial survey findings, they're a bit short of figures. So this one in particular, so the gap, you know, between X sum of dollars differs from the sum of dollars we've calculated would be a bit more of a powerful message.
So same message, but back it up. Put some punch to it, some muscle with some numbers. That's a good suggestion. Any other thoughts? Would we want to replace one of these three with some other theme? Did anything else jump out at you?
Eduardo Santoyo from .co again. I really want to bring to the table again the number one. And one of my work conclusions is, which is the message that we are going to, we would like to transmit with this? The CCTLDs that use the least amount of ICANN services make the largest financial contributions. The skier, but what are we trying to say to the community with this? That we have cross-subsidized or not, or which is the message? I'm not clear. What are we trying to impact them saying this? I'm not clear on that. Why would we have these statements?
Well, I'll take a shot at it, and then we can all make a comment. I think what's being said there is those that can pay do, and those that don't have that capacity are not, which is fine. And that's perfectly fine. Those that can are. And yes, you know, we're paying more than the dollars of services we're receiving, and the community by and large appears to be okay with that. those that are less able at this point in time, and I think that's another thing to remember, at this point in time, doesn't mean it's for all time, at this point in time, those who are less able to pay but require some of those capacity building services, that's fine with the community. And that's also, maybe I can extend this a bit, perhaps part of ICANN's responsibility here. And they're the ones saying they're spending all the money doing it, and as part of their role in the ecosystem, maybe they should be fine with that too. What we talked about per se too is there's still really going to be a gap between what ICANN says and the dollars that we're spending, and I think we still have to have a discussion about do we need to up our game in terms of contributions, and this is some of the supporting material for that. I think the gap is much smaller, and that we recognize that those who have the capacity to pay are paying, and are paying substantially more than for the services they're receiving. But that the community is okay with that. I think that's the message that we're trying to I think that's what we're trying to deliver here. Keith?
Keith Davidson. There's a slightly worrying little angle in that. There are some CCTLDs who are doing financially particularly well, who are not particularly well engaged in ICANN or in the regional organisations and don't contribute anywhere if they can avoid it. So they're quite relaxed about the .ca contributing at the level that it does because it subsidises them, and they're quite relaxed about taking that as extra profit themselves. So, you know, there is also an argument about the inequality or inequity of the game, but by and large, I think, you know, it's hard to argue with the concept that most of us pay more than the value proposition that it presents us, and we pay more than just the dollars that we write the check for. I think that's what you presented here quite succinctly, and with a bit clearer wording will be a powerful message, and I don't think we should go any further. I don't see any other strong message to present other than what we have in front of us.
And I think we just, as part of this, we acknowledge there's some free riders. And you know what? In most industries, there are free riders, right? And that's just, there always will be. We want to hopefully bring them on board over time, and the majority of us are not. But
Peter Van Rossen from Center. And tell me if this is not the right place and time. But when you're looking at that gap, one way to close that gap is to increase the contributions, and other ways to reduce the costs that they keep on assigning to us. So could one of the findings be that looking at the pretty low usage of some of those services, asking the question whether it's still valuable for ICANN to provide these? If you look at the availability of ICANN proceedings and meetings in the 6 UN languages, that probably about 3 of the 55 CCTLDs find that useful. And it's incredibly expensive, especially if you match that particular graph on page in slide 7 with the costs to ICANN. I think that would be, this one or the one before it's the same. If you match that to the cost to ICANN, it would be very interesting to see where the large budgets go and how relatively useful they are. So would that be another finding that we actually need to question the provisioning of that type of services?
Any comments on that?
Well, Alonso, I'm told you're getting that to you, okay? Well, taking consideration that Peter said, and again, regarding the first statement that we have that we want to express, is that as we have been discussing in the past, we won't really want to have a proportion between the financial contribution of the CCNSO community regarding the cost for ICANN of our activities. And that we are saying right now, it doesn't matter, because the people who use the minus or less use the services of ICANN are the largest contributors from the CCNF community. They are not them. They are not a proportion between the use of the services and the amount of the contribution. And that's a discussion or a statement that is not completely agreed with that we are trying to say to ICANN in the past, that we really want to contribute in a proportion of the cost that we generate for ICANN. And probably saying this, we are not taking the point to the free riders, because saying that the people who contribute the largest financial contributions use the least or the managed services of ICANN. We are not saying nothing about the free riders, and we are saying a bad message, because we are saying them that doesn't care the services that we use of ICANN. The contribution will be made in a voluntary basis by the CCPD community. It's a point that I've tried.
Okay. Please?
Liz Fuller from .dk. Well, I think it's very important that we stress that this survey is made while we don't have the actual numbers on spendings on the CCNSO group, because I don't think we've got that from ICANN yet. They have given some overall figures, but it's not, they haven't been able to specify what money are used in it. So I think it's very dangerous to go into this, bring down the cost, while we don't know what the costs actually are on the CCNSO group. So,
well, maybe it's not about bring down the cost per se in the context of the way you're describing it. It's more about those services are not being well utilized. How do we rationalize them?
And, Peter Varosa from Center. Well, it's true that there are no accurate figures. I think we got some indication on some of those. And that's why I seem to remember that translation was exceptionally expensive. So I'll try to track where I got that from, but we have something to go along with.
Well, I haven't looked at those numbers in a bit, but maybe somebody will recall. It seems to me that the numbers they broke down showed that there was about $2 million in change of direct expenses against the CC community and $7 million of allocated expenses. Is that roughly?
So $2 million direct services, which includes, say, the CCNSO secretariat, treble funding. Then there were some shared services, which would include IANA. And then there was $7 million overhead. That was the breakdown, more or less.
Right. So about bringing those expenses down. Keith.
And I think, it is important that we probably put a couple of sort of statements, pre-definings, and one is the statement that we need to have granularity over the ICANN's financial or suggested financial expenditure on CC. And until we get that, we're in no position. The other is probably to make some comment about whatever formula that may be arrived at. The CCNSO in itself is not empowered to go and collect money or bill people or have anything to do with that. For the other 126 CCTLDs that are not members and so on, how ICANN will collect or not collect fees or whether those people will be liable or not is totally beyond the scope of what we can do as well. So I think we need to be clear on probably both those points from the outset, that this is not an exercise that will balance our canned books from the start.
Great point, Keith. Leslie?
Thank you, Byron. I was just going to make the point that we need to be careful what we wish for. So for me, I guess this, we could position this as we're doing some work to inform this discussion and we're ready to have this discussion with you. Yeah. There is a, we can't do something like this without expecting a reaction of some description. And maybe that needs some kind of tactical thought as well. You know, there is a real danger that we could get back into some quite argumentative territory here, which I don't think is particularly constructive for anybody. So, you know, from my point of view, if we position this as some more information to inform the dialogue, then that's great. If we push too hard, we have to expect we will get quite a reaction back. And just a note of caution there. And I feel as strongly as everybody in the room about this subject. I'm just kind of thinking, if I was on the receiving end of this, you know, what would I say back?
Yeah, the tactics of delivering the message are going to be almost as important as the message itself. I absolutely agree with that. Vika?
Yeah, maybe if I can talk with Vigan Pisane from Zari. If I could join, take a cue from what Leslie just said. From a typical PR point of view, public relations, you adapt your messages depending on your audience. So I think when we pass on these messages to the CC community, for example, we need to be careful of certain things. Maybe looking at it personally, I come from a region of really struggling to deal with this. And there's nothing wrong with the truth. The truth is the truth. Sometimes it hurts. But at the same time, over time, it sets you free. And it is the truth that the CCs that contribute the largest probably are the ones that use their services the least. But how do you want to pass on that message to the CC community is important. You know, so that it does not, one, create a scenario where the largest larger contributors start to reflect on themselves, why do we pay so much when even this proves that we're not using tech and services so much. On the other side, for the smaller guys or the guy who doesn't contribute at all, then it creates a certain, you know, psychological barrier or defensive mentality of saying, well, you know, I have no say there, I can't participate because in any case, I'm not contributing. You know, so we need to adapt the message quite carefully and in a clever way for the CC community so that it's not, it does not have an impact of being divisive in any case or of discouraging the contributors from continuing to contribute the way they do. Then you can readapt it for the CAC or for the board, you know, and put it on a premise that is clear that we came to where we are based on past financial data. So I remember when we started, I think it was early last year or so, and Akram and I forgot the guy, the financial controller, gave us some figures, and they expected increase at that time. We do not know after a year if they're still the same figures. So that is another message on from which we can premise what we are saying here. That's much I can think of. But on the one of the largest financial contributors, I just think it's important to probably rephrase that message, particularly for the CC community, to say the extent to which a CCTLD contributes is not necessarily reflective of the amount of services that they use of ICANN, you know. And then go on then to make this point that the survey shows, for example, that the largest contributors use the least services. You know, something along those lines is what I think will be polite enough for the future community.
I absolutely 100% agree with you, because the goal is not to bifurcate community based on contributions. I think we all recognize that a robust, strong community in total is what has value, not bifurcated between those who are contributing more and those who are contributing less. So I absolutely agree that how that message gets delivered. I mean, all we're doing is delivering, quote, the facts. But how it gets delivered needs to be nuanced and respectful. Absolutely. Any other comments or thoughts in terms of messaging? In terms of timing, you know, one of the key elements that we're still missing is the detail that ICANN has committed but hasn't really delivered on yet in order to help us understand our commitments and contributions vis-a-vis what we cost the organization. So we're still working on that, and those of us who are in the SOP sort of heard it again. Even though the box was ticked off, the financial application and enterprise system was done, it's obviously not done. So we still await that, which means our initial schedule and timeline may not be able to be completed as we'd hoped for, which was in the October meeting, the Toronto 2012 meeting, because we've done the model analysis. I think we've received the survey information and have data. The third piece of that is what are we really costing, and we haven't had that. And then, of course, the actual discussion around, all right, well, we have all those bits and pieces. Now what are we going to do, and how are we going to put something that's acceptable to the community and clear? And I would posit that does up our game in terms of contribution, but at a realistic level. And I don't know what that looks like yet. But it's hard to say when we don't know what we're actually shooting for. Mm-hmm. Sir, can you repeat that?
Bart Boswinkle. Say what you just discussed, make that part of the presentation to the board as well, and maybe reflect on what was discussed at the Dakar meeting. Because there was a session with Steve precisely on this, and there were some, again, for instance, in this instance, the board was waiting for progress as well. They don't have a figure, etc. Maybe this is a moment to, again, reaffirm that message. We all day out the board. I know the board is waiting for it. The CC community is waiting for it. I can dig it up. All right.
Well, we all know who that was. Peter, did you have a final comment?
Peter, I was thinking about Leslie's comment on it's very important how we bring this. And obviously I understand the value of being strategic in how we bring this. But I would also caution for being too shy to really state our views very clearly without any room for misinterpretation. And this is, again, tremendous work. I remember from the first survey that we did, Chico, where we presented that, and then we're just in your new role as chair of the finance group. We've been applauded for about a year for that tremendous work that we did, and it didn't get us anything at all. I really would like to avoid that with this exercise again. This is really something that should get the board's attention, the ICANN's community's attention, and we should move forward now to the next step. First of all, to finally get us what we've been asking for many years, at least five since I joined, probably a long time before that. There is absolutely no point in doing this exercise every 2 or 3 years and still ending up empty-handed. So if this would be a center thing, and I would have to advise my board on how to communicate this, I would basically make this a last offer. This is the final time that we're trying to get you all the information that you need to get your act together, work on your finances, and it hasn't been a year since Singapore where suddenly they lost $2 million. And we never got any decent response on that. So it's time to move on, and this is the final contribution to do that.
It was double counted, I think, right? Wasn't that? I can imagine how that would have gone over for me with my board, and I'm sure all the rest of you.
Lisa Fu from .dk. Well, I think I placed myself sort of in the middle of Leslie and Peter, but being a part of Peter's board now, I will try to. I think it's very important that we do, like you said, Leslie, put in numbers, build up the findings with numbers, so we can say, well, this proves that the findings are valid. So it's not something we dream up from a question. We use the numbers to make our point. And I agree that we shouldn't be too shy to present the findings. I think, well, they have had their time to give us the real numbers of their spendings on the CTNO field group. And but I still, again, do it in a way so we don't, you know, I agree with Leslie.
We want to keep the dialogue constructive, but that doesn't mean you can't be forceful about a constructive
dialogue.
The
pressure you put on, you have to expect to get back. So if we want that, we just have to be prepared for what to do next. So I agree of being tactical is very important here.
Any final comments? So I know that I've now roped in Keith and Peter to help with a little wordsmithing. And over the next day and a bit, we think about how to fine-tune the message. Sorry, we have a GAC Tuesday or Board Tuesday? Board's Tuesday, GAC's Wednesday. Okay, so fine-tuning the message for each of those. Nothing says Tuesday morning like a finance presentation. No, it's not no. Okay, well, thank you very much. Good discussion. Thank you. Look, and I gave you back 3 minutes.